Your weekend outlook is brought to you by Tom Potter State Farm. Let Tom Potter quote your insurance. Call 270-965-2284.
Good Thursday morning, folks. It's 1 week from Christmas. Welcome to the program this morning. This is Chris Evans from the Crittenden Press, and I'll be taking you on a rundown of the biggest local story shaping your community this week, from roads, bridges, county jail, hospital, campus, community events, and a look at where local journalism is headed. You can see all of that in your Crittenden Press this week. It's out today on newsstands and should be in your mail today as well. Next week, just want to remind you, the Crittenden Press will be out a day early because of Christmas, so you'll be able to pick it up at newsstands on Tuesday. It will go in the mail on Tuesday, and I guess hopefully it will be delivered on Christmas Eve along with all the other full volume of mail that's going out right now. Those post office folks are mighty busy, and we appreciate them getting the Crittenden Press out in a timely fashion as well. This morning we're going to start with roads because, you know, that's what people like to talk about. That and I guess the jail right now is a big topic, and we'll hit on that in just a moment. But later on in the show, too, I'll have Crittenden Community Hospital CEO Sean Bright to talk about some changes out there at the hospital. But we'll start with these two major bridge projects in the county. There's been a little bit of delay, I guess you might say. They were anticipated to open by now, or at least within the next week or so. Those bridges are on Dam 50 Road. That is Kentucky Highway 387. It's been closed since late March for replacement. And the other one is down on Kentucky 2123 at the Caney Fork Creek. That's in the Glendale area between Kentucky 297 and Kentucky 1668, which is what we call Crittenden Springs Road around here. Both of those are going to be remain closed until sometime next month after the first of the year. That bridge down in the Glendale area has been out since September. Now, it's a route on a commuter trail for a lot of people. Then, of course, the Dam 50 Road has been out since last spring, and really put a crunch on overnight camping and use of the Riverview Park. But hopefully, here in the next few weeks, not many people do any camping right now anyway. In fact, about a dozen folks in November camp down there. You can get a full report on that in this week's Crittenden Press. We always get you updated on how many people are staying at Riverview Park. Also, you can catch in this week's press some interesting information on the Crittenden County Detention Center. Of course, it has been at the center of attention over the last few months. Probably one of the most consequential stories that we have been following, I guess, the last half of this year. And it has to do with a shifting in inmate numbers, and it's created some financial strain. And in this week's Crittenden Press, we'll take a look at those numbers, just the raw numbers of inmates that are being held behind bars and those who have been held behind bars, you know, comparing a five-year average prior to this year and looking at, you know, what's causing these financial straits out there. You know, state inmates are averaging about 76 per day right now, and federal inmates about 58. And that's well below the previous five-year norm. So Crittenden County Fiscal Court meets this morning, 8:30 a.m. out at the county office complex, and I know there's going to be a great deal of discussion about how to move forward. Right now, the jail is thousands of dollars in the hole, and the county government has to figure out where to pull about $50,000 from in order to shore things up for the jail so that it can make its payroll this month. So Big news, again, coming out of there. Difficult choices for the county, the detention center. So we have a lot of sympathy for those folks, but they're the leaders, and it's their chore to figure it out. The hospital annex is getting ready to be dropped, razed, demolished. So we're going to take just a moment and hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with Sean Bright, who is the CEO of Crittenden Community Hospital.
Hey, this is Brennan Cruse with the BP Cruse Company here in Marion, Kentucky. For all your small delivery needs, whether it be rock, landscape rock, mulch, topsoil, or sand, give us a call at 270-704-5296. That's the BP Cruise Company, Marion, Kentucky.
Now let's go out to Crittenden Hospital and hear from the Chief Executive Officer.
So I have with me this morning Sean Bright, who is the CEO of Crittenden Community Hospital. Sean, I know we've talked in the past about the annex building out there, the old administrative building, I guess it was. And there's been a lot of talk for many years about what was going to happen with it. Can you explain what's going on and what's going to happen in the near future?
Sure. I'll be glad to, Chris. Thank you. So, you know, we've put a lot of effort into trying to salvage this building. You know, we started on a remodel project of that and a couple of things here on the campus, been a year and a half ago. And they ended up identifying some really extreme structural issues, secondary to like water damage from those windows specifically have let a lot of water into that building since it was built. I know from being told prior, there's a long history of, you know, what's gone wrong and how that building was built and things that could have been improved on. But the water damage has rotted the seal plates that sit on top of the concrete wall. And then they have also damaged the end of some of the floor joists that are, you know, between the first and second floor. So The issue is that seal plate is so rotten, it has to be replaced. And the only way to do that is to physically lift up that corner that's closest to the high school and country club. That corner has to be lifted up. Well, the problem with that is the risk associated with that is just structural failure for the rest of the building. So the costs have just been astronomical based on just the sheer risk of somebody trying to get in there and do this repair. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've gone through a couple of different quotes. And the last company we brought basically said, look, we'll give you a quote, but you're not going to like the price. And it was over, you know, $500,000, closer to $600,000 just for them to repair that that section. And then that doesn't account for, you know, finishing the exterior of the building. So only about a quarter, maybe a little over a quarter of that building has had the exterior done. So that drive would have to be finished on the outside of it to make it look right again. And then inside the building also with the damage. So, and essentially the building is pretty much totaled.
Yeah, so you're gonna just bring her down, I guess, cut your losses.
That is the game plan. We even talked to the school for a minute to see if they might be interested in it for some administrative buildings, and they did a walkthrough and came up with the same kind of conclusion that we did, that it just wouldn't be worth it to try to invest in that building. And so what we're going to do is, you know, we've got a company that has given us a teardown price. It'll be, we're going to wait for the weather to get a little better. We'll let it, you know, get after the first of the year. As some stuff that we'll take from that building that's, you know, we can salvage and keep for other projects like our upcoming clinic in Sturgis that we're working on. But other than that, we're going to bring that building down and then, you know, clean it up and have it turned back into just green space. We're going to put a, you know, have the ground leveled out there and resod that area so it'll be nice and pretty. And I know that everybody in the community, as well as I am, are tired of looking at that building.
Yeah.
And the state that it's in.
Yeah, I get a lot of questions about it.
And we appreciate Sean coming on the program this morning and filling us in on what's going on with that building there on the corner of the hospital campus that's so visible on Highway 60 and Country Club Drive. We're going to take another short break, and we'll be right back with sports.
H&H Home and Hardware. The name says it all. And in 2025, H&H is celebrating its 25th year in business. H&H Home and Hardware on Sturgeon Road in Marion has everything you need for plumbing, electrical, lumber, paint, building supplies, hardware, plus pool supplies, steel power equipment and repairs, and so much more. H&H is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m., 6 p.m.
All right, you last-minute Christmas shoppers, again, you have 7 days from today to have those gifts wrapped and under the tree. And if you've got some last-minute things, get out to H&H. Man, it's a huge department store out there. It's Marion's Walmart. A lot of gift ideas. I do a whole lot of Christmas shopping out at H&H. Before we roll into sports, I want to mention that this week my standing column in the Crittenden Press is a word about us, really. In this edition, again, is out on newsstands right now. We take a candid look at how artificial intelligence is changing journalism, including how it is being used at the Crittenden Press, and how we're using AI tools in what we think is a responsible manner to improve efficiency while really being able to keep reporting local and rolling on, because these AI tools are very helpful in a small news staff like the Crittenden Press. You know, it's getting more and more difficult to be in the newspaper business, and perhaps even the media business in general, because of the information age. Everyone thinks information is free, and to provide, to aggregate and provide good quality, truthful information, it takes money. And when you're in a business, you have to be able to have income in order to report. So that's a soapbox I like to get on, and I know a lot of people have heard it from me, but these AI tools, again, are very critical in keeping the doors open, so to speak. Last week, I was interviewed for a program on National Public Radio, and it was put out by the area's public radio stations, one in Murray State, one in Bowling Green, or at least those are the two in West Kentucky. But they interviewed a number of journalists in West Kentucky, and me, I being one of them. And it's pretty interesting read. There's a audio and then an article as well. It's pretty interesting read or listen. So check that out at Murray State's WKMS, National Public Radio. You can Google it if you can't find it there. Go to the Crittenden Press Facebook page. It's available right there. Nonetheless, this week's column in the press, I take up that topic. And if you're interested, tune in to the Crittenden Press this week and get the full story. And in local sports, we have a new number two person on the Lady Rocket all-time scoring list. Anna Boone on Tuesday night led the Lady Rockets with 19 points as Crittenden County beat Lyon County 53-51, a barn burner in overtime to remain undefeated in 5th District play so far this season. Of course, Crittenden County's got one of the best girls basketball teams in the area, and Anna Boone is one of the best players in the area, and she eclipsed former Lady Rocket Cassidy Moss, who actually was the all-time scoring leader for several years before Taylor Guess unseated her back, 3 years ago now? And three or four, but Taylor's moved on, is playing collegiately, but she has well over 2,000 career points. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,600. And Anna Boone is now approaching 1,900. She may even be there. I didn't look at those final, but she did pass Cassidy Moss for number two on the all-time career scoring list during that game. Big win for the Lady Rockets, and they will be on the road tonight at Carlisle County. I don't know if you've been to Carlisle County by car, but It's kind of like coming to Crittenden County from anywhere else in the world. It takes a long time to get there. A lot of two-lane narrow roads way down in far west Kentucky. So the Lady Rockets will be there. Now, the boys' basketball team is a different story completely. They're really struggling. They came out of the chute this year winless so far in 8 games. Of course, most of you know the team was winless all of last season. And switch coaches, new coach, former Rocket Kenny Jackson at the helm. And I do see some improvement in these guys. It was difficult to see on Tuesday night. Lyon County is one of the best teams in the state of Kentucky, ranked number 18th in some polls, number 20 in others. And, of course, they're in our district, and they came over and whooped up on us pretty good. 109-25, the final score was. But I did see a glimpse of some improvement in the Rocket basketball team. Kenny's running a lot of guys out there on the floor, getting a lot of kids experience, and you know, it's going to be a while before this ship is righted, so to speak. But so what you do is you look for victories and success in different ways. And I think what I'm seeing, there are some successes playing out with this basketball team. Now, the Rockets will be down at Paducah tonight to open the St. Mary Christmas tournament, one of the biggest Christmas tournaments in the state of Kentucky, or one of the longest for sure, been going on for many, many years. And the Crittenden County will take on tournament host St. Mary tonight down there to open that tournament. And that's going to be a wrap on this morning's program. Hope you get out and get all your Christmas shopping done until the first of next week. This is Chris Evans reporting for the Crittenden Press.